Welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 324, Open Your Heart. Sunday, February 11th, 2024. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Support for this podcast comes from contributors to Ko-fi, and I want to thank everyone who has so generously made a contribution. Each quarter, I offer up a prize, and for the first quarter of 2024, that prize is a pair of custom-made socks from Sarah Ellis of the Woolen Waves Shop. I am the happy recipient of some of these socks, and I want to pass that indulgence along to one of my listeners. If you want to get in on this drawing, make a one-time contribution or become a contributing member anytime before March 20th or so, the spring equinox, and I'll be doing a drawing and then working to pair the winner up with Sarah so that you can talk over your ideas for a pair of custom knit socks, and the Yarns at Yinhu podcast will pick up the bill. You can check out Woolen Waves for more information regarding Sarah and her sock knitting. She has some techniques that make a really excellent fit on a pair of socks, and I encourage you to take a look. Early in January, I talked a little bit about some commitments that I had to regular practices, including daily yoga practice and working on spinning for 100 days starting on Black Friday at the end of November. And I have continued my commitment to both of those practices. In terms of the spinning, I'm working on spinning Lenore's fleece. Lenore is a crossbreed sheep from Shepherd's Hay Farm. I was so lucky to split a fleece from Lenore with my friends Sarah and Emily. And I am currently working on the very end of the plying. I have two bobbins full of a beautiful two-ply. Lenore's fleece is a really deep, sumptuous brown color. And I'm working on my third plied bobbin. I really do think that by the end of this week, I will be done with the plying. And so I'll continue my spinning practice more with hand spindle spinning. And I have some ideas for a combination spin that I'd like to do. That spinning will be a little more photogenic, so I might start taking some daily photos of my spinning starting on the 17th. That also coincides with a 100-day project that Beverly Army is starting, and she has been publicizing through her newsletter and her Instagram. The whole reason I started a 100-day project was based on the inspiration that I had from Beverly Army, so I think I would like to join in and kind of extend the 100 days that I've been doing into 100 additional days with Beverly and her newsletter subscribers. So I'll be maybe talking a little bit about that on my Instagram page and on an upcoming podcast episode. Thanks to a recommendation from Emily, I was able to tune into a lecture from Lee Langstaff of Shepherd's Hay Farm about a year in fleece raising, and this was sponsored by the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival and their winter offering of different courses and lectures. This was free. It was very well attended from what I could tell. There were over 100 people on the Zoom call. And Lee Langstaff went into great detail about their breeding program and the way they coat their sheep. Not every shepherd has coated fleeces. It's one of the things that has made Lenore's fleece really beautiful and easy to work with, but that also increases the price of any fleece that's raised this way. And Lee Langstaff talked about some of the challenges and the difficulties with that kind of shepherding. So overall, it was extremely informative, and we were able to get a little bit more information on Lenore's heritage and parentage by listening to that lecture as well. So that was a real joy, especially as I'm working on concluding the spinning of this fleece and thinking about how to turn it into a very special garment. Lee Langstaff said that it thrills her no end to be approached by a hand spinner and knitter who shows off what they have made with some of the fleece from their farm. So I dearly hope to be able to do that and to show her a very special garment that I've made when I see her next, hopefully at this year's Maryland Sheep and Wool. Each week when I begin my yoga practice, I work to set an intention that I call upon and return to as kind of a touchstone throughout the week. Sometimes when times get a little rough or when I start to lose my focus. And it isn't always the case that an intention has such like cohesion throughout the week, but sometimes it does. And that's been the case so far in February. So this episode really takes its cue from the intentions that I've set over a two-week period. And I'll use them to kind of tell you about work I've been doing in the fiber arts. So at the beginning of February, I set an intention for honoring creative impulses. While I do a lot of spinning and knitting and sewing, I don't always consider that extremely creative work because often I'm following directions or following a pattern or completing a series of steps and there's not a lot of decision and choice making. I do a lot of decision making on my job, and so when I have crafting time, it is kind of part of my relaxation that I can get into the rhythms of handwork without doing a lot of decision making. However, at Orange, the cafe, music, and gallery venue that Samuel has begun in Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania, he was hosting a 12 by 12 show and benefit, and I really wanted to create some pieces of felted work, needle felted work, for that particular show. I don't have a practice of making time for this, and so I usually rely on deadlines approaching as my inspiration for doing some of this work. And it was coming up pretty quick, and my calendar of responsibilities was pretty full. So in setting that intention for honoring creative impulses, I was just trying to like reinforce this idea that I wanted to follow some creative ideas instead of just working to get things done. I'm very comfortable working to get things done. So following those creative impulses is always a stretch for me. And I really was able to kind of stay true to that intention over the course of the week and worked for several periods of anywhere from an hour to 4 hours. That was a real indulgence. To create two felted pieces that were incredibly personal to me and that I was able to put in the show. And one of them is sort of an idea that I put on an ivory background, and another is an idea that I put onto a very deep brown, almost black background. And I used some knitting techniques as well as some stitching techniques that I gathered from a recent Bojagi Zoom call that I was on. And I used some feelings around my cancer diagnosis, and I was able to kind of put those things together into these pieces and felt really proud of them when I had completed them. So I will be sure to post some photographs, although I find these things a little bit difficult to photograph well, but I'll put some photos into the show notes in case you are interested in seeing them. It didn't end there, though, because it seemed my intention of setting creative and honoring creative impulses just spiraled into the week, and instead of continuing to work on projects that I already had started, I started two new projects. One is that I had this idea that I was really ready to hand knit a pair of socks for me. I do a lot of sock knitting, but I don't particularly care for wearing my own hand knit socks. I usually give hand knit socks away. But I've had a skein of yarn in my stash for quite a long time. And I just, when I was organizing things, it called to me, and I decided to start a pair of socks with a skein, my only ever skein of Gale's Art yarn in the colorway Graffiti and Asphalt. And at one time, maybe like 7 or 8 years ago, I'm not even sure, this was like the coveted item that everyone had to have. And somehow or another, I purchased a skein. It may have been at SSK. I don't even remember. But I purchased a skein of this sock yarn and just sort of put it away and never took it out to knit with it until now. When I finally wound this yarn into a cake to start knitting with it, I realized that what I thought was a superwash merino nylon is actually a superwash BFL nylon. So the yarn is a little bit toothier and has a little bit more integrity than I anticipated. Many of you knitters may be familiar with Gale's Art Graffiti and Asphalt yarn, but if you are not, one, I will put a photo in the show notes for this episode, and two, it is an early form of speckled yarn where pretty much every stitch is a different color. So in the case of Graffiti and Asphalt, it's asphalt, like it's very dark blacks and browns, and then with pops of just a complete spectrum of colors, but just little blips of them. So that, you know, you might get a yellow blip and then a blue blip, and the socks just take on this quite magnificent speckled appearance. Gail has been a very, very highly respected dyer, even though she is not doing this kind of dyeing anymore and her creative work has gone in a different direction. So I'm very pleased to be knitting with this sock yarn, and also pleased with the fact that turning the heel, doing a heel flap, anything like that is made super easy because there's no break in a striping color sequence or anything like that. So this is super freeing, and I just started with my usual, cuff down sock with quite a long leg, I think. I've been wearing some thin socks with my Brier clogs, and I kind of like the look. It's a little bit warm for cold winter weather, whereas I like to wear them without any socks in warmer weather. And I think if I can pull this off by knitting a pair of socks for myself, I might actually wear them with my clogs. To that end, I was thinking about doing an Eye of Partridge heel on these socks because I think that would look really, really pretty. So we'll see. And this is my purse knitting right now. I do have other socks on the needles, and they are just taking a back seat for now while I honor this creative impulse. Then I didn't stop there. Even though I have a sweater on the needles, I put it on pause and followed an impulse to knit the Yun sweater, that's EUN, by November Knits. It's an Anne Fiskum Sund pattern. I think I'm pronouncing the designer's name correctly, and has become quite popular. This is, and I'm reading from the pattern description here. The Yun sweater is a raglan sweater with a high side split that's worked top down. The neckband is knitted in rib and folded in half, and short rows are worked to shape the neckline. The body is worked in stockinette stitch in the round before being divided into front and back pieces, which are worked flat in rib one at a time. This is a gorgeous, cozy looking worsted weight, I would say. It's like a worsted weight sweater that is quite oversized in the shoulder. And the distinguishing features really include this rib, which is for the neck or collar, as well as the split hem. And then finally, and probably most attractive, is that there is a rib motif in the raglan shaping. It's quite like a beefy rib motif that goes down the raglan shaping. And it just creates this like really, really cozy looking sweater. And I just felt like knitting it. And I had the yarn that I thought would work well for it. So I selected yarn from Stash, which included a very economical Cascade 220 Sport in the silver colorway. This was harvested from a Stephen West shawl that I started knitting and pulled out when it was just way too complicated and way over my head, not this past year, but the year prior. So I had used this yarn for that project, or thought I would, and then just set it aside. And as I was going through Yarn Stash recently, I discovered that I had quite a few balls of Shibui Silk Cloud. I didn't even really remember that I had this, but pairing these two yarns together seemed to be really the ticket for the kind of fabric that I wanted to create with this cozy sweater. So it is going well, and it has knit up really, really quickly. I decided so far not to tack the ribbed collar down, but just to have it as like a kind of like a short turtleneck. I could roll it down if I wanted to, but I don't think I will tack it down. And then the raglan, as I said, the raglan patterning is just very beautiful. And the short row shaping for the back, neck, and shoulders is also super clever and elegant. I like the way this pattern is written in that it's not one of those hand-holding patterns. It's pretty basic, and you do need to do some thinking as a knitter. It's also pretty simple so that if you want to make adjustments anytime as you're trying it on, you can really do that without a fear of kind of like messing up a pattern and not coming out with the correct stitch count or something like that. I think if you're a confident knitter, you could take the stitch count as a suggestion. At least I hope that's how it is, because that's how I'm doing it. I looked at a lot of photographs of finished projects and people wearing the sweater and determined that I didn't want the sleeves quite as oversized as they're written. And so as I've been doing the yoke increases, I have not done increases each time they're required for the sleeve. So I've kind of slowed down that rate of increase a little bit. I also, at the very end of the yoke increases, I slowed down the increases on the back of the sweater because when possible, I do not knit the back of the sweater as big as the front of the sweater. And I also intend to keep quite a few knitters have done to keep those raglan details going down the sides of the sweater until they kind of roll into the rib panels on the split hem. Mary Beth and I are both knitting this sweater. She is a bit ahead of me, but she's the one who kind of cued me into the fact that nearly 1 in 10 sweaters and the photographs on Ravelry have taken this raglan styling and continued it down the sides. And so I would really like to do that. In fact, in scrutinizing the photographs, it seems to look very silly when suddenly those increases just stop after the knitter has split for the sleeves. So I'm hoping that very, very quickly I will have a completed sweater. This is the kind of sweater that I want to wear in colder weather. And so it makes sense to me that I would like hurry up and finish this sweater now and then pick up the botanical motif sweater afterwards, because that sweater is really going to be more of a spring sweater for like cool but not necessarily cold weather. And the motifs on the sweater also, I think, they just say spring. So I'm working my way very, very happily on this Une sweater by November Knits. And in the next episode, I hope to tell you all about my finished project. Last week, leading up to Valentine's Day, I set the intention of opening my heart. Open your heart was my mantra all throughout the week, and it kind of blessed me in some surprising ways. One of my responsibilities at work is to develop kind of a social media and school-wide campaign for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, which is February. In particular, our students do a big push on this topic during the week of Valentine's Day. So we spend a lot of early February kind of getting ready for it. And this year we ran a pet photo contest, which was adorable, and we asked students to submit photos of their pets. And then last week, we had a meeting where students selected some pet photos that they thought were very good, and they paired these photos with messaging that they wanted to share with their peers using the hashtag OKForPetsNotPartners. So, for example, I can't take my eyes off you. Okay for a cute little puppy looking sadly into your face, but not appropriate necessarily for a partner who should, you know, be able to give you your space when you need it. So we created 6 social media memes for this social media campaign, and I am posting them each day this week to raise awareness for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. I encourage you, if you follow me on Instagram, to repost these memes into your story or into your post to assist in raising awareness. Or if you're feeling creative, to take a photo of your own pet and maybe create your own and share that with people you know. Teen dating violence awareness is really important, and really for everyone, adults included, it's important to remind ourselves and one another that everyone deserves to be in a loving relationship that is healthy with a partner that is respectful of our needs. And the more we as adults can model that for young people, the more likely they are to make those claims for themselves. So if this, you know, strikes a chord with you at all, I hope you take the opportunity at some point this month to assist in spreading that very important message. I, for one, love the ad campaign we came up with, and I'm really eager to be sharing those posts throughout the week this week. Finally, somehow, and I'm not sure how, perhaps it was because I was opening my heart and kind of opening my eyes to loving messages this week, I came across a new-to-me poet, Andrea Gibson. They are an American poet born in Maine and now living in Colorado, and they're the Colorado Poet Laureate. Primarily, Andrea is a spoken word and slam poet, and I will link to a video of the poet performing this poem in a slam type arrangement. But I appreciate this poem on the page, and I plan to read it to you in a more traditional way, not with the slam or spoken word style cadences and such. I find it very difficult to pull that off anyway, but I think this poem can speak to us as a poem read from the page. This is much longer than any poem I have shared on this podcast, and I did consider reading only a portion of it, but I really want to share the entire thing with you. So like I said, I'll link to Andrea reading the poem. I will link to the text of the poem, and I think this poetry brings its message of different kinds of love and a very solid core of loving ourselves first. It's titled Boomerang Valentine. I'm sitting on my friend's couch several months into being intentionally single and celibate for the first time since I was 20 years old. 20 years old, when I believe sex had to involve a dude and the word screw. I'm telling my friend about the psychic who said, I'm going to meet the love of my life by the end of January. It's January 10th, and I'm so far from ready for Cupid, that naked little shit, to fire anything sharp my way. So far from ready for that kind of insane, only love makes me. My friend musters every bit of new age jargon she can fit into her tongue and says, "What if you are the love of your life?" I think, oh my God, I hope that's not true because I am absolutely not my type. But let's say for a moment I am. Let's say I am my dream girl and boy, and I am standing on my front step ringing my own doorbell, waiting for me to answer so I can hand myself a mason jar full of water lilies I have rescued from a millionaire's Monet. Let's say I am so charmed by the radiance of my own anarchy, I invite myself in for tea, and when I'm not looking, I sneak the steam from the kettle into my pocket so that the next time I am missing the coast of Maine, I can gift myself the fog. Let's say I'm not just running my mouth around an old cliche that says we gotta love ourselves. We don't. I know that I can keep getting down on myself till I'm tucked into the grave, looking up at my name carved into stone, wondering why I never knew I'd been cast the lead in my own life. Y'all, when it comes to love, the only thing I'm certain of is you are the best thing that has ever happened to you, whoever you are. You're a quitter? Great. There's plenty worth quitting. A sore loser? Who isn't? You got no discipline? Maybe discipline is for bodybuilders and closeted gay monks. Picture a magician so attached to being perfect that he cuts off his own legs just to pull off the trick. Picture the 738 selfies I deleted before I took one that I was willing to show to the world. Picture me wishing I could have all of them back. My so-called flaws in stacks like baseball cards I know will be worth something someday. Like compassion, like tenderness, like my capacity to think myself a catch just because I have never seen a chandelier I didn't want to swing from. Because I would maybe go to space just to know if railroad tracks look like zippers from the moon. On days I have a hard time keeping warm in my own weather, I imagine what the first flower said to the first human, trying to name half its flower petals love me nots. No, that is not how anything grows. Of all the violence I have known in my life, I have not known violence like the way I have spoken to myself. And I have seen almost everyone around me hold that same belt to their own backs. Then, looking for someone outside of themselves to come clean that treason up. If I were to ask myself out of that cycle, I might say, listen, I am still going through a growth spurt. I am still yet to get my worst tattoo. I am still cleaning the smoke from burning the toast I wrote for my own wedding day. I am still trying to get rid of my mirror face and look myself dead in the eye. I know Facebook is a lousy mortician, desperately trying to make us all look more alive. I know there are things I haven't survived. I know there are people in this world who have had to work really hard to survive. Me, I don't ever want to take that lightly. But I want the heavy to anchor me brave, to anchor me loving, to anchor me in something that will absolutely hold me to my word. When I tell Cupid I intend to keep walking out to the tip of his arrow, to bend it back towards myself, to aim for my goodness until the muscle in my chest tears from the stretching of becoming. When I came here to be a lover of whatever got covered up by the airbrush, the truth of me, that beauty of a beast chewing through the leash, till I got a mason jar full of water lilies, I got a kettle full of sea, and my whole life, y'all, my whole life is just a boomerang Valentine coming right back at me.